This holiday and award season, consider The Man Who Invented Christmas in all categories. Deadline calls the movie utterly delightful, a truly wonderful, amusing, clever, and irresistible holiday charmer, and proclaims The Man Who Invented Christmas production value is first rate. Learn why critics are raving and visit BleecherStreetGuilds.com. Welcome to the Bart Fleming Podcast. This is Peter Bart.
It's Mike Fleming.
So, Mike, you'd have to go back to April 1924 when Louis B. Mayer opened the MGM lot amid a lot of fanfare. In order to find an announcement that's as much of an attention grabber as Disney's takeover of Fox. I mean, sure, it was a corporate acquisition, but it involved two of the most important brands in show business, and the deal will impact not only on thousands of lives and jobs, but also on the way we see entertainment and how we see it. The comparison to MGM in 1924 is a little exaggerated, of course. Louis B. Mayer was a very smart hustler who certainly didn't possess the wealth of Bob Iger and Rupert Murdoch. I mean, his total assets were under $100,000 when he opened his studio. The Disney deal is worth almost $60 billion. And while Mayer's great new studio was fronted by the white walls and colonnades that still stand today, the new MGM didn't even command the services of Samuel Goldwyn, who had already moved on to a better job, leaving Louis B. Mayer in the lurch. So anyway, some of the questions brought into focus by the Disney-Fox deal are clear to us. You know, how many jobs will be lost? Who's going to run the place? What's going to happen to the Murdoch sons? And if Disney wants to construct a whole new media world, how will the decisions be made? And how will it affect the creatives? What do you think?
Well, I talked to a bunch of people around Hollywood because we covered this deal extensively. And I would say, really, everyone outside of Disney and the Murdoch family, which became the largest individual shareholders at Disney, everyone else hates it because basically, the big question in town has been for a while, could Paramount, as major studios ramp up and become as successful as a major like Fox? And so basically you have taken one of the healthiest film studios, and I'm just going to look at film because that's what I cover. You've taken one of the healthiest major studios right off the board. And so basically immediately for agents who sell materials and who sell stars and talent, you basically have you took one major buyer right off the board, and there aren't that many buyers to begin with. And you basically have all these duplicative areas like marketing and distribution and legal affairs and HR and many other categories. And basically, you're going to be cutting those jobs in half. And so I don't see how it helps Hollywood at all. What it does is it certainly helps burnish the reputation of Bob Iger, who basically, helped Disney face that brave unknown of streaming and over-the-top services. But you could say that they were already better positioned for that and for the incoming Hollywood aspirations of these high-tech companies. They were already better positioned than any other studio in town. So I have to say, from something that's going to help the business, I just don't see it at all.
Those who favor the deal would argue that the basic business has been increasingly troubled in the last few years. But if you look at the numbers, Mike, frequent moviegoers, those who go to the films once a month, they declined to 11% of all filmgoers from 28% in 2002. That's a steep decline. Also, moviegoers are buying 30% fewer tickets compared to 2002, while ticket prices are up 54%, in 15 years. So those are daunting numbers that you have to consider in this context. So you could argue that the film business, that side of the business, needed some help like this. On the other hand, you can say that Disney and Fox combined now occupy over one-third of market share. And that, to your point,
but how,
Mike,
how did the movie, when you say it needs help, how is this helping? I mean, if you can wring yourself out with all these statistics that you want to look at. But this year, which was not the greatest year of all time, is going to probably turn out to be the biggest global box office year at close to it at the end of the year. So all this crying over, this is down or that is down. I mean, you know, all these corporations and studios are faced with major problems. They feel the sand shifting under their feet, and there's tectonic shifts that are going on all around us. And how do you reach consumers? How do you bring people into the theaters? Do you put the product out on video faster? But I don't see how any of this gets solved by what was by far the most dominant company in Hollywood in terms of film studios. And basically you add and basically gut a healthy major studio to help burnish that operation. All that's going to happen is that, there's going to be a renewed vigor for Viacom to be merged with CBS again. And who knows, Lionsgate will probably be sold. What happens to Sony? Is there going to be pressure on Comcast to get more film assets to add to Universal? All it's going to do is nothing good for the business. It's going to cost people jobs. There's going to be less creativity. There's going to be more gigantic movies that are programmed for global success. And we saw what happened with that this year when Universal had the wrong guys trying to figure out a way to turn the classic Monsters franchise into something viable. And it fell on its face because the Mummy was not a good movie. And some people say the same thing about the Justice League film. This business, this is a business. If you look at all the successes, the movies that surprised you, like Get Out or Baby Driver, come on, this is what the movie business is about. It's supposed to be crazy ideas, out of the box thinking. I just don't see how any of this helps Hollywood at all.
Well, it depends on the point of view you take when you say this, when you talk about the state of the business. I mean, from the banker's point of view, which what I was addressing, the banker's point of view, other than Disney, the earnings of every other entertainment company have been static in the last few years. And that, from the banker's point of view, is disturbing. I think from the creator's point of view, they're looking at a much more rigorous marketplace. And they're also looking at this question. As consolidation increases, who's going to make the creative decisions about the product that we see and that they buy? Will it be reduced to algorithms? Or are people still going to be in place making the creative judgments as to what will be a good TV show or a good movie? I think if I were a writer, a filmmaker, I'd certainly be disturbed by consolidation.
Well, I mean, but look at the way this year for the film industry. Look at the way this year started. You had the Oscars. It was the best Oscars I've seen in as long as I can remember. And then it fell off a cliff because of a star struck accountant who wasn't paying attention. And now you look at how the year ends, and it's basically once again bean counters who are strangling the creative elements of this business, in my opinion. Now, the exception, if you look at Disney, they've managed those silos very well, and hats off to Alan Horn and his guys. But you need someone like Kevin Feige, who continues, when he runs Marvel, he continues to turn out these just incredible surprises. Like the most recent Thor movie was just one of the most fun films to sit through that I can remember. It was fun. It was funny. There was a meaningful story there. There was action, surprises. But unfortunately, Kevin Feige's don't grow on trees. And so I think that that a lot of these decisions are going to continue to be based on decisions made by people like bankers, as you mentioned, and executives whose allegiance is to the bottom line and not to the things that has made the movie business in a global billion-dollar industry. It all comes down to storytelling and risk taking and creativity, and I don't know that you're going to see that encouraged by this unnecessary consolidation. And I'll be curious to see if it passes muster with the Justice Department, because Disney now does hold an outsized amount of influence in the theatrical market, with exhibitors, even for shelf space for merchandise and DVDs at Walmart. I mean, they will basically put a lot of pressure on the other guys to get bigger also, or either that or just be treated as second-class citizens.
Well, I think the Trumpian Justice Department has taken a pretty liberal view, oddly enough, a liberal view toward consolidations and mergers, with the exception, of course, of giving a finger to the CNN aspect of the AT&T deal.
Yeah, but how are they going to be? Are they going to be able to pass Fox Disney before they deal with AT&T Time Warner? Because that one's been sitting there waiting for approval for an awful long time. That's going to be a strange bit of business if Fox Disney cuts the line. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. I'll be very interested to see how this goes.
This week's episode is also brought to you by the movie Breathe, starring Andrew Garfield. IndieWire calls Breathe the kind of stand-up and cheer drama that award season was made for. And Rolling Stone calls Andrew Garfield's turn a fierce, fully committed performance, and a loving tribute to a courageous man. Learn more about this remarkable story and Andrew Garfield's performance at BleecherStreetGuilds.com. And I wonder, Mike, whether the appointment of Anita Hill to a new commission to examine the causes and solutions of the harassment issue, whether that appointment is really going to pay off. It seems to be she's taking on a job that may be simply impossible to become a heroine for, but she and the rest of the to be appointed commission are going to examine how to deal with this contagion. And it's really a contagion of harassment complaints. Now you wonder, Mike, also. Among the many issues to be solved is, if you look at the Dustin Hoffman accusations of the last few days, how far back can one legitimately take some of these allegations? If something happened 15, 20, 25 years ago, is it appropriate to now point the spotlight on these issues? What's your feeling about simply the generational element?
Here's the thing. There's no criminal prosecutions behind any of these things that have happened. There's no arrest. There's no perp walk. There's no handcuffs. There's no nothing. It's just basically people who come and say, this happened to me. And, you know, and corporations which are now ending people before they've been given an opportunity to defend themselves. Now, the rogues gallery of people who have taken tumbles here, it's very difficult to find much sympathy for any of them. The allegations against Dustin Hoffman are very disturbing. The thing is, this does seem to have been going in a bit of a twisty direction, which I hope doesn't undermine the original spirit of all this, which was basically to expose sexual people who engaged in sexual assault, like Harvey Weinstein. It seems to have taken a an unusual direction. I mean, for instance, I watched as there was a case recently where an executive at Netflix who was involved in global children's programming, he was coaching his kids' soccer team, and a woman approached him on the sideline and said, "Why haven't they gotten rid of Danny Masterson?" This is a guy who's on a show at Netflix called The Ranch, and who was accused of rape. And so this guy had absolutely nothing to do with any of that, and he made an offhanded comment to a stranger, and he basically said, he was dismissive. And he didn't realize that this was a woman who made allegations. And the next thing you know, this man was fired. So the question is the world a better place because this guy who had nothing to do with that is now unemployed? And, he's coaching his kids soccer. I'm not sure I see the higher purpose in that. I watched recently Matt Damon get pilloried for basically saying what I thought was a true statement that not every single one of these incidents is the same, for instance, as the seriousness involving allegations made against people like Harvey Weinstein. And he's just been mauled in the press, and even like Meryl Streep just now. And I remember Meryl Streep, she came out when Saving Mr. Banks was looking for awards. She came out and talked about some of the bad things about Walt Disney, who's kind of revered, and it got a lot of attention. And she came out and she said things about Donald Trump when he was a candidate, and it got a lot of attention. And now she is being attacked by Rose McGowan. And you just wonder where all of this is going. You know, someone said to me, you know, there are going to be dolphins who get caught and drown in the tuna nets. And I don't know, you know, it's a concern.
I think that
white hot nature of this.
I think that there'll be a positive outcome for all of this if women are indeed encouraged to speak out. And that, I think, is the underscore is the most important thing. What's disturbing is that women have endured a lot of indignities and affronts over the generations because they've been afraid to simply speak their mind and to address their complaints.
Well, Peter,
and also, let me add one thing, though. They've been afraid to speak out, but also because in speaking out their complaints, their allegations have not been received by companies and by even within small companies and partnerships. And I think that all this will take on a positive frame if women are encouraged, as they are being now, to speak their mind, and if also at the same time there are greater opportunities for women in the business to assume leadership opportunities. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, but listen, you're singing a kumbaya tune here. Everyone agrees with all this stuff. To me, it's self-evident. But the question is, the mindset right now is that anyone who has a critical story written about them is being ended. So let me ask you this. So what happens, because we've always heard in past years about the dirty tricks that are played during Oscar time. What happens, because, you know, there have been some people who say, with Senator Al Franken, for instance, that this Me Too movement is being weaponized to get rid of people. Let's just say that's true. So what happens if what's the easiest way to knock an Oscar competitor off the boards? It probably would be to maybe do a little digging, find a skeleton in the closet, expose it, bam, the guy's gone.
It is interesting, and it is indeed somewhat scary. And I know a number of women with important positions in the business have expressed to me their concern about sort of a perverse form of McCarthyism, that it is so easy to obliterate the career and the reputation of somebody today. So that one hopes, again, to return to Anita Hill and the commission and all of the study groups being formed by the Academy and by talent agencies. One hopes that there will be a fairer platform that some of these things can be worked out.
But even on that one, so you look at the heads of companies who have signed their name to be part of that pledge. And I look at that list, and some of those people are those men all squeaky clean because they've just put bullseyes on their backs. And it will be very interesting to see how all this goes going forward. And now I'm all for the purge that's happening right now. I think it's been a wonderful thing and a necessary thing. I completely agree with it. Don't get me wrong. I just wonder. I just don't want to see it go off track. I mean, because look, people in Hollywood are imperfect, all of them. And even if Peter, if you look at the agencies and if you look at the studios and you look at the executives there and who they married, a lot of them married former assistants, and a lot of the agents married former clients and people who perhaps reported to them. And so what's going to happen there? Technically, I guess all of these people put themselves in a position where when they made an approach to a fellow employee, they could have been guilty of sexual harassment. I'm just saying the world is not black and white. And people, we don't hold execution simply when allegations are being made. I'm urging caution here and thought and not to get too caught up in the desire to end people when they're imperfect.
Well, I think you make a good point in that we should all understand that many people, especially in Hollywood, do work within very insular environments, and that their workplace is their home, and others work at home. So the whole social interplay has changed a great deal. And I think some of the warnings that you discuss are absolutely valid. Mike, I hate to end up by agreeing with you, but that's my position. So thank you.
Thank you right back.